Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Let's move on to this now. And marriage rates in South Africa are declining significantly. Listen to this number, dropping nearly 30% between 2013 and 2024. Well, more couples are choosing to live together without actually tying the knot, often believing this gives them financial independence and maybe even fewer legal complications. But the reality is that cohabiting partners face just as many, if not more, financial risks than married couples. So I want to talk about the realities now of life partnerships, estate planning and protecting assets. And I'm in conversation with Queen Molobani, who's Provincial General Manager at Metropolitan. Queen, thank you very much indeed. As I've mentioned, marriage rates are dropping. More couples are opting for cohabitation. Maybe the biggest financial misconceptions that people have about this lifestyle choice, what are they?
Thanks, Jeremy, and good afternoon. Jeremy, I think a lot of people, sort of like believe that if we are not married, therefore we can avoid, you know, the complex financial ties. But in reality, you know, cohabiting or living together has expenses. And I think if you look at the economic times that we're living in at the moment, you've got a lot of couples opting to live together where there's shared expenses, to a point even share in terms of going into a joint bond. And also the upkeep of the household and the lifestyle as well. It's on both parties. And we also see, sometimes where they even go to an extent of having children together, although they may decide not to get married. So the real issue is, it's not about being in a marriage in terms of a document. The fact that you are in that much of a committed relationship, living together and sharing, expenses or financial commitments on its own creates that financial tie.
So the problem, Queen, often is that should the relationship dissolve, it can lead to an enormous amount of financial pain and, I guess, confusion in trying to sort things out.
And that is so correct, Jeremy. And I think what is important, if two people decide marriage is not for us, we want to, live together as life partners, critically get into agreement and sort of like draft a cohabiting agreement. I mean, you can contact an attorney that will make this a real, legal document. Why a cohabiting agreement? This is where you are agreeing to say, should we go our separate ways? What happens to this complex financial situation that we may find ourselves with? Or should one of the partners die? Because now we have built a life together. And that's one of the key things that would then be able to say what happens from here and on. And they don't just leave it at that. You can go to the extent of actually putting in place things such as a life cover. I mean, for example, that we're living together, we have a joint bond. We are owning this property that costs this much. So if the one party is to pass away, what happens to that financial commitment? And obviously, I cannot now go live on the streets, but also I may not be in a position to afford this financial responsibility on my own. And that's why we went into it together. So the one way as partners we can protect each other is by making sure that there is a life cover in place and we actually sit and actually, transparently communicate, other financial obligations and the financial status that we're sitting at and making sure that we do that for whether we separate or whether either party in the partnership actually dies. Mm.
So that's one aspect. Then let's talk about children, if we can, which can also complicate issues. If there are unmarried couples with children, surely there must be financial safeguards that need to be considered as early as possible to make sure that any offspring is legally and financially protected.
That is definitely correct, Jeremy. I always advise parents, whether single, in a relationship or whichever way, or married, it's important that you do your estate planning and you have a will in place. Because this is the one legal way where you can protect your children, should you pass away. And it's important that when you create that will, you do inform the person, whether it's a financial institution or an attorney, that is creating the will for you to ensure that there's a clause that says upon your death, there's a testamentary trust that is created for the children. Why a testamentary trust? The testament tries to ensure that whatever, you know, inheritance is left for the children, it is secured and protected. Because we can always say, I know that you'll take care of my children, but in reality, we don't know what would happen if someone had 5 million, 6 million land on their lap. Mm. And to avoid any misfortunes, it's actually easier to then legally protect that money, whereby then an institution that is, you know, managing trust funds and whatever for children will then manage the monies for the children and make sure that the basic, you know, well-being of the children, school and such things are taken care of. And whatever is left in the estate will only then be released to the children when they are of legal age or the age that the parents chooses, even if up to 25 years of age. That way, we not only dependent on the other party to look after the well-being of our children, but we ensuring that that well-being is actually secured. Because I know sometimes we trust in saying, you know, my mom or my partner or someone in the family will look after my children. However, we have a lot of stories where inheritance was left for the children, but it's never used for the purpose that it's left for. So one way to do that as partners is to create a will that protects children. But also in your cohabitation agreement, you need to agree on things such as if we separate, what then happens to the day-to-day expenses of the child, the well-being, the maintenance. Mm. You know, are we going to be sitting in court and fighting for maintenance, or are you willingly going to be able to take care of your children, and are we going to continue at least being amicable and civil in taking care of these
right.
children?
Queen, let me ask you one final question and a short answer, if you don't mind. We've looked at death.
Yes.
We've looked at children. Now let's look at investment, if we can. Mm-hmm. Many couples build wealth together as the relationship develops, whether we're talking about buying a home or investing in savings. What is the smartest way to structure those investments?
I think the smarter way to structure those investments, it's to make sure, I think I did mention a cohabiting agreement in the first place, mm. because that is the only place where you can say how are this going to be split and what's going to happen, you know, in the unfortunate space where, you know, each person goes their separate ways or there's a divorce or there's a death. But I think also, you know, we live together, we want to create wealth, which is a great thing. Just be sure that the terms and the conditions and there's transparency beforehand. So that at the end or when there is a separation, then there is infighting. So just make sure that there is some sort of legal agreement in terms of on maturity or on separation, on death of the other party, what will then happen.
All right. Sorry to dump this information on you just as we're approaching Valentine's Day on the 14th of February, but it is very valuable advice. Queen Malubane, thank you very much indeed. Provincial General Manager at Metropolitan. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.